up will be our Varied Radio Productions feature again.
You're listening to Hosseiniya from IRIB English Radio by Sayyid Abbas Razavian. Labaik ya Hussein.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alayka ya Abu Abdullah Hussein alayhi salam. Brothers and sisters, my sincerest condolences for the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Welcome to the program Husseiniya. We were talking about the spiritual journey of Ziyarat Ashura, that the first station is the station of Bala, and that is the station that the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam faced. That is the step that they took. Two, we talked about the station of Huzn, and that thanking Allah at the end of Ziyarat Ashura for this raziyat, for this calamity, that we thank God for being sad for Imam Hussein alayhi salam, because it is ibadat, it is worship, it is tasbih, it is the glorification of God. Today we're going to talk about the third station, and that is the station of Silm and the station of Harb, meaning it is the station of peace and the station of conflict. The followers of Imam Hussein, they had to make a decision. That is to join and to be at peace with Imam Hussein and to protect Imam Hussein, or to leave Imam Hussein alone. The decision that they made changed their future, changed their essence, and they became the followers of Imam Hussein. They became the companions of Imam Hussein. They were at conflict with the opposite side, which were those that became enemies with Imam Hussein, those that became enemies with the Ahlul Bayt, those that became enemies with God. Therefore, in this station, it is the station that we read, Inni Silmun Laman Salamakum, I am at peace with he who is at peace with you. وَهَرْبٌ لَمَنْ هَارَبَكُمْ I am at war with those who fought against you. So this is the station of Silm and Harb, meaning that we enter the camp of Imam Hussein now. Now that we understood Bala, now that we understood grief, now we take ourselves and we become Husseini with our lifestyle, with the virtues that Imam Hussein alayhi salam took dear to him, we become truly Husseini. This is a more difficult station. This means that we have to let go with whatever the enemies of Imam Hussein did, whatever virtues and deficiencies they had. We separate ourselves from those bad habits, from those bad examples, and that we change our life, and that we enter the camp of Imam Hussein, and we become more like him. Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari was a companion of the Holy Prophet. And he was one of the people that the Holy Messenger of Allah said, send my salams to Muhammad al-Baghir, which is the fifth Imam. He lived a very long life, and he saw Imam Muhammad al-Baghir, and he sent the salams, and conveyed the salams of the Messenger of Allah to Imam Muhammad al-Baghir, alayhi salam. He is also one of those that reaches the grave of Imam Hussein after he's martyred. And he is there with Atiyah. And what happens is that in the tradition we have, Jabir ibn Abdullah says, لَقَدْ شَارَكْنَاكُمْ فِي مَا دَخَلْتُمْ فِي. He says that we have participated in what you have entered. We have participated, we were at Ashura. Atiyah is surprised. He's saying, we didn't fight, we didn't unsheath our swords. How can we have participated in Karbala and we weren't even there? There, Jabir ibn Abdullah says this tradition. فَقَالَ يَا أَطِيَّةَ سَمِعْتُ حَبِيبِي رَسُولَ اللَّهِ is a great companion of the Messenger of Allah. It says, يَقُولُ مَنْ أَحَبَّ قَوْمًا حُشِرَ مَعَهُمْ. Whoever loves a group of people with their hearts, they will be resurrected with them on the Day of Judgment. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ عَمَلَ قَوْمًا أُشْرِكَ فِي عَمَلَهِمْ. And if a person loves the actions of a group, he will participate and will have a share of that action. We wanted to be in Karbala. We couldn't be in Karbala. Therefore, we will be rewarded with the same reward of those that have participated in Karbala. This means that those that align themselves, they are at peace with Imam Hussein, they align their hearts with Imam Hussein, they will reap the benefits of Karbala, inshallah.
Whose name sleeps in my heart, and there it is, it's about my eyes windows to the beauty of your name. Seven letters that I've loved formed to become my beloved with my heartbeat. Part of my blood you became. I searched for your beauty and found it within me. In me a tragedy, Hussein. With everything patient, with your intention, your love crowned my creation in smiles and cries. It became my pride. If in sadness my tears pour, I sit weeping at your door until your hand comforts me. There I my heart like an orphan's, at your touch it softens, and my love it becomes Hussein. With everything patient, with your love impatient, daily Hussein.
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. We started a series of episodes, delving into some of the jurisprudential laws related to the month of Muharram, in which Imam Hussein and his loyal companions were brutally martyred in the land of Karbala. And we all, on the part of the radio, we would like to express our condolences to you, whoever you are listening to our radio, and particularly the Muslims all across the globe. Let me start with this, Sheikh Javid. Is it permissible to use the property of public treasury or public fund for holding commemorative gatherings for the martyrdom of the infallibles, including Muharram?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, I would like to again express my condolences on this sad event, the event of Muharram and the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam. Of course, all Shia Muslims understand how important Muharram and in Safar, of course, these 2 months are, they are to the Shia Muslims.
Yes.
And of course, just as Imam Khomeini, may Allah bless his soul, said that it is because of Muharram and Safar that Islam is alive.
Alive, yes.
Yes. So we must do whatever we can to narrate the story of the martyrdom of Imam Hussein and commemorate this event as much as we possibly can.
Yes.
And we should avoid any act that is considered to be disregard to Muharram,
yes,
of course, and to Safar also. When it comes to your question, of course, generally speaking, using public property like funds, venues, equipment belonging to government institutions, which we call public treasury, of course, must follow the rules and regulations of the relevant organizations or authority. You know, if such regulations allow or authorize the use of that property for religious commemoration, especially those that are publicly beneficial or promotes spiritual and moral values,
mm-hmm,
of course, then it is quite permissible to use those funds or public property,
yes,
for such purposes. So it's very important to note that such uses must be in accordance with the guidelines, regulations of the relevant authority or the relevant office or organization. It depends where it comes from, you see, the public property, and where it belongs to. Of course, the public property belongs to the public, to the people.
Okay.
But it has an authority, someone who takes care of it, who looks after it, so it must come with the consent and permission of that authority. Now, if such usage is against the institutional rules, you know, without formal permission, or it is somehow accompanied by some kind of misuse or exploitation.
Yes.
Like, for example, the public property is used for other purposes.
Yes.
Which are not intended, then of course it's not permissible. Now, the thing is that misappropriation of the public property is considered a kind of ghasb, a kind of usurpation.
Yes.
And it can be sinful even if done for a good purpose or for a good cause, yes. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So the answer is, the answer emphasizes compliance with the official guidelines and regulations and respect for public trust, even when intended to use for religious causes.
Thank you very much. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Don't go away. اللهم ارزقني اللهم ارزقني شفاعة الحسين يوم الهموم. Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jad Hossein's program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to Muharram based on fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei with Sheikh Javid. Okay, Sheikh Javid, is it reprehensible to spread out black fabrics or cloth and cover the walls of the mosques or even wear in black? When commemorative gatherings are held?
Right. Well, it's a good question. Based on the opinion of His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, he is of the view that it's not only makruh to spread out black fabric or to cover the walls of the masjid with black clothing. It's considered, such practice is actually considered a kind of meritorious act, a desirable act, which earns the people the sawab.
Yes.
Because it is a kind of expressing grief and sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, of course, always recommended, mustahab, to express grief and sorrow on the grief and sorrow of the Ahlul Bayt,
yes.
Peace be upon him. And if this is the intention, there is no problem in it. Now, you see, the intention for spreading fabric, clothing, and black clothing, of course, should be with the purpose of venerating the symbols of God, those, sha'air,
yes,
those signs of God, which is very important. وَمَا يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. So it's very important to respect those symbols of God, شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ,
yes,
which include, of course, the remembrance of his chosen ones like the Ahlul Bayt, Imam Hussein alayhi wasalam, and his companions. And then expressing grief for the tragedies endured by the Prophet's family, particularly during Muharram and Safar, of course, these are the, the desirable and meritorious acts which must be considered, which must be taken into consideration. Now, covering the mosque or Husseinis with black fabric as well as wearing black clothing as a sign of mourning are considered acts of reverence, and the person performing them may definitely receive divine reward for manifesting solidarity and sorrow with the cause of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam.
I see. Thank you very much. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to Muharram and the commemorative gatherings of Imam Hussein and his loyal companions, based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khomeini. Well, you know, Sheikh Chabit, is there any harm in smearing one's head, actually, or forehead?
You're right.
With some kind of mud on the days when these commemorative gatherings are held?
Well, this action, like placing mud or clay on the head or forehead, is seen in certain cultures as a form of, you know, a symbolic mourning, especially among those expressing intense grief for the martyrs of Karbala. From a jurisprudential or fiqhi perspective, if such behavior is commonly accepted in the community as an expression of sorrow and not considered something absurd or extreme, some kind of, you know, vulgar act,
yes,
of course, it is permissible. And we do see,
yes,
that Shia Muslims in some parts of the world, they apply some kind of mud to their forehead to show their grief and sorrow. That's okay, as long as the community, it's acceptable to the community,
yes,
because it's considered as a sign of showing grief. And then, obviously, it must not cross into some kind of self-harm, which is very important. You know, actions that could lead to or could cause some kind of derision from outsiders to the extent that it undermines the dignity of the commemoration of the school of Ahlul Bayt, that must be very, that must be taken into consideration very seriously.
I see. Sheikh Chabit, you know, during these commemorations, I'm not talking about only Muharram, but any kind of these gatherings, you know, there would be actually recitation of the Holy Quran or sermons, you know, they emanate from the loudspeakers, which have been already installed on top of the mosque buildings and towers and minarets, you know?
Right.
Especially during these seasons that I say, like the martyrdom of, or commemoration of the martyrdom of Imam Hussein and Muharram, and the sound is too loud, actually, and it could serve as a kind of nuisance, basically, to the neighborhood. And although this happens, and sometimes they're reminded of it, the people responsible for it are pretty much adamant to carry on, right?
Right.
What's the ruling in this matter?
Right. While organizing Majalis al-Aza or morning gathering, we do believe that such majalis are very much commendable, and they are mustahab acts, especially when it concerns the remembrance of Imam Hussein's story and the event that took place on the day of Ashura. But this act must be balanced with the rights of others, particularly neighbors. Yes. Islamic teachings definitely emphasize on avoiding causing harm to others, idrar, you know, causing harm to others, even in the course of religious activities. And also, it emphasizes on maintaining public order and mutual respect, particularly in shared residential areas. That's the point. The responsible organizers of the gatherings are supposed to, of course, to moderate the volume of loudspeakers. They should be used for, you know, for the people inside those Husainiyas or buildings, and you know. And also the speakers must be directed inward to reduce the sound leakage, you know, into the surrounding environment. That's very important. And if someone if those people who are in charge neglect their duties, and this may cause a kind of or constitute a kind of nuisance,
yes,
which is discouraged and which can be impermissible.
Yes.
Thank you
very much, Sheikh Chabit, and thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to your own program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio, in which we try to deal with some of the jurisprudential laws related to Muharram based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khomeini. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step brothers not the last one
هو الذی ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودین
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth that he may make it prevail over all religions though the polytheists should be averse.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد موسیقی خاصی دارد روش خاصی دارد
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones. But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran, Quran.
Assalamu alaikum, ya Aba.
إنما خرجت لطلب الإصلاح في أمة جدي صلى الله عليه وآله.
The words of Imam al-Hussein عليه السلام in dialogue.
صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله.
Imam al-Hussein عليه السلام. The son of the Lady of Light, the Honorable Fatima, the son of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali, the grandson of the Noble Prophet Muhammad, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, the beacon of light which guides towards knowledge and wisdom, the one who has eloquently said, O people, the person who is generous becomes a grand, lofty person. The person who is stingy debases himself. Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, the master of martyrs, these are his dialogues. The words of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam at the martyrdom of Ali al-Akbar. O Allah, bear witness concerning this group of people, the enemy, toward whom a youth has gone out, bearing the closest resemblance to your Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, in his creation, in his manner, and in his speech, such that when we yearn to look at your Prophet, we would cast a look at Ali al-Akbar.
Look what Karbala gave us. In return, what can we give? I thought I'd go there to die, but in fact I went there to live.
You cannot die. You cannot die. You live on even though we're left grieving. And I will walk on the roads you would walk. Your words live on though you know.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is IRIB English Radio. We're talking about the dialogues of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. We find in the previous segment where we listened to the words of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam that His Eminence talks about his son Ali al-Akbar. What is really interesting and beautiful to note is that Ali al-Akbar was this handsome young man who resembled in his behaviors and his speech and his morals the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him and his holy household. And so this is something that has been recorded in history, the fact that Ali al-Akbar, this esteemed son of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, he was very much like the Holy Prophet. And not only were his behaviors and his manners, his speech and his ethics, his words, like that of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, but even his face and his countenance, his build, it was all like the Holy Prophet. It seemed like he was the mirror image of the Holy Messenger of Allah. And so this is something that we learn wherever we are across the world, that we too, as a youth, or perhaps even as an old man, should resemble the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi when it comes to our morals and our behaviors, when it comes to our decisions, when it comes to our speech, when it comes to our ethics. Whatever we have and whoever we are, we should resemble the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household. This is something that has been etched into the heart of history. This youth, Ali al-Akbar, who was so similar to the Prophet, and definitely a lesson for all of the generations that have come, and all of the generations that will come, that the exemplar and the role model is the Holy Prophet. And so we too, as we follow the footsteps of Imam Husayn alayhi salam, try as best as we can to resemble the great, perfect human being, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائي عليك مني.
Dear audience, now let's listen to some parts of زيارة الناحية المقدسة. Stay tuned.
وبقي الليل بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام على غريب الغرباء
Peace be upon the loneliest of the lonely
السلام على شهيد الشهداء
Peace be upon the greatest martyr of the martyrs
السلام على قتيل الأدعياء
Peace be upon him who was slain by the individuals of illegitimate birth.
As-salamu ala asakin Karbala.
Peace be upon the one who is at rest in Karbala.
As-salamu ala man bakathu malaikatu as-sama.
Peace be upon the one for whom the heavenly angels wept.
As-salamu ala man dhurriyatuhu al-azkiya.
Peace be upon the one whose descendants are the pure.
As-salamu ala ya'sub al-deen.
Peace be upon the chief of the religion.
As-salamu ala manazil al-barahin.
Peace be upon the places of the divine proofs.
As-salamu ala al-a'immati al-sadat.
Peace be upon the imams, the masters of mankind.
As-salamu ala al-juyub al-mudarrajat.
Peace be upon the blood-stained chests.
السلام على الشفاه الذابلات.
Peace be upon the parched lips.
السلام على النفوس المظلمات.
Peace be upon the plucked souls.
السلام على الأرواح المختلسات.
Peace be upon the snatched spirits.
السلام على الأجساد العاريات.
Peace be upon the stripped corpses.
السلام على الجسوم الشاحبات.
Peace be upon the pallid bodies. Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of the program Dialogue. We hope that you remain under the auspicious grace of Imam Hussein today and always.
You're maker of my breath, but never my faith, no, never my faith, it's my voice. You may chain both my hands, but never my soul, no, never my soul, it's my voice. You make out of my breath, but never my faith, no, never my faith. my voice. You may chain both my hands, but never my soul. No, never my soul. It's my voice. My voice. You may chain both my hands, but never my soul. No, never my soul. It's my voice. You may cut off my breath, but never my faith, no, never my faith, it's my voice. You may change.
Hello, brothers and sisters around the globe. This is IRB English Radio, the program to my brother. Please accept our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Al Hussein alayhi salam.
But never my faith, no, never my faith, it's my voice. You may chain both my hands, but never my soul. No, never my soul, it's my voice.
Today I'd like very much to tell you about another character in Karbala, a family member of Imam Al Hussein, a young boy, the one who is barely more than 11 or 12 years old. He was no one other than Qasim ibn Hassan. He was the son of our second Imam Al Hussein, and his mother Umma Farwa. Qasim, however, only 11 or 10 years old, 11 or 12 years old, had, like his cousins Aun and Muhammad, learned, fencing from his uncle Abbas ibn Ali and his, cousin Ali Akbar. Abbas, when we talk about Abbas, we know that how brave and, strong personality and warrior he was in Karbala. Qasim was a young boy, so no one expects a young man so much, and specifically in hard times like war and fighting. So kids boys are not usually involved. But let's see how this young character, but very strong one in moralities and in religion, acts and reacts to the situations. On the eve of 10th Muharram, on the night before the Battle of Karbala, Imam Al Hussein was passing by Umma Farwa's tent. He heard Qasim saying to his mother, Mother, tomorrow Uncle Abbas, Ali Akbar, and I will defend Uncle Hussein. Mother, if I get killed, please do not weep for me. Farwa, you know, replied, my son, although I dearly, you know, love you, I shall not weep for you. Nothing will make me prouder than to see my son give his life for Islam. When Imam al-Hussein, you know, heard this, you know, conversation, he prayed to Allah to bless Qasim and Farwa. So it shows this is very much, you know, educational for all of us, that if somebody has prepared himself during his lifetime, he can finally be successful. And it shows that Qasim, as a young boy, as the one who know who is never expected to fight in battle, but he himself is prepared for. You know, and on the day of Ashura in the battlefields, you know, when Aun and Muhammad, you know, had fallen in the battlefield, you know, Qasim, you know, came to Imam al-Hussein and, you know, begged for permission to go and fight. Twice, you know, Imam al-Hussein, you know, refused, saying, Oh Qasim, you are young and your mother's, you know, only son, which, you know, disappointed, which actually this kind of, you know, reaction disappointed Qasim very much. And Qasim, you know, went to his mother, who at this, you know, sight remembered that just, you know, before, you know, her husband, Imam al-Hassan, peace be upon him, died, he had written a letter, you know, giving it to Farwa, saying, if ever you find Qasim in difficulty, then give him, you know, this letter. And when Qasim referred to his mother that, you know, and because Imam al-Hussein didn't, you know, give him permission to go into battlefield, she gave Qasim the letter, which said in that letter, my son Qasim, a day will come when my brother Hussein will be, you know, facing an enemy army of tens of thousands. That will be the day when Islam need to be, you know, saved by sacrifice. You must, you know, represent me on that day. You know, having read that, having read the letter, you know, Qasim rushed to Imam al-Hussein and gave him the letter. And Imam, you know, Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, then started actually to read the letter. And finally, Imam al-Hussein, you know, gave permission. And this is very much informative to all of us, that a young boy can be a complete grown-up person just overnight if he has grown up in a correct and you know Islamic atmosphere and in a good family. And Qasim is a good example, showing us that a boy can be a man in just one night. So at this moment, let's listen to Sheikh Hassanain Rajab Ali, and you know, he's going to tell us more about this great personality, Qasim.
One young person, and I end on this, was Qasim ibn al-Hassan. Qasim was the young son of Imam Hassan. He was only 11, 12 years old, and he comes to Karbala with his mother. You find Qasim comes to Karbala, and during the battle, as Imam Hussein alayhi salam is fighting, and the murder, the torture is taking place, the killing is taking place, he finally tugs on his uncle's trousers as a young child and says, I am ready to go. Imam Hussein looks at him as his nephew, and he begins to cry. He says, your father left you to me as an amana. Now I have to send you in front of the battle. Imam Hassan had told him that when this scenario comes, don't deny my son this honor to rise in the honor of fighting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Ahlul Bayt. A 12-year-old, those of you who are 12 years old, 11 years old, take heed, brothers. Don't follow the satanic ways. Follow Qasim ibn al-Hasan. He says to Imam Hussein, he says, death to me is sweeter than honey. How does a 12-year-old say that? Because the wisdom implanted into these children of Ahlul Bayt was supreme, was so high that when we look at them in the annals of history, we are humbled that we think we're good. We're nothing compared to these people. They say Qasim ibn al-Hasan ascends on the horse. They say he was not a warrior. There were 72 warriors. They say he wasn't even dressed properly to battle. They say he had slippers. And one of his sandals, even the strap was broken. That as he went towards the battlefield, as Imam kisses him goodbye and sends him towards the battlefield, the enemies say, we see this Qamar Bani Hashim. We see a little moon coming toward us with a sword. He said, I am here to protect the religion of my grandfather. They surrounded Qasim ibn al-Hasan and they struck him. One of them came and struck him on the head. And Qasim fought. They say he fought. He fought valiantly as a young child. He must have damaged them because the zeal is higher than any physical strength you and I can have. They struck him on the head and Qasim falls from the horse. He shrieks. He calls out, Ya Ami, my uncle, come and help. Imam Hussein alayhi salam comes running towards Qasim ibn al-Hasan, and the one who struck him on his head, Imam strikes him on the head and dislodges him. But by the time the horses and the enemies who came to help, at that time there was so much dust. When the dust settled, that enemy who killed Qasim was trampled by the horses, but the Imam saw this beautiful young body under his feet and he looked up and said, Allah, I accept this tragedy.
Standing here alone on a land so far from home, a place where angels cry, while innocent children die. Hussein has said goodbye, praying some of them survive the torture and the heat. They can't bear to watch him leave. They cry out, Hussein, Ya Hussein.
Welcome back to the program. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is the program To My Brother. So, brothers and sisters, once again, we would like to express our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam al-Hussein. So, as I was saying, Qasim, this great personality, became a young man overnight. And when Imam Hussein, you know, gave him permission to go into a battlefield, Imam, you know, tied up, you know, Imam al-Hassan's, you know, turban on the head of Qasim and helped him, you know, mount his horse. Qasim said, Oh, my uncle, please do not be upset. I don't fear death. Death for Islam will be sweeter for me, you know, than honey. When Qasim, you know, came to the battlefield, the enemy, you know, remarked, How can we kill someone whose face is shining like moon? As Qasim, you know, was a very, very handsome boy. And, of course, this is how, you know, his presence in the battlefield is described. And in the battlefield, in a very loud and, you know, clear voice, Qasim, you know, introduced himself and cried out a challenge for, you know, single battle. He killed several, you know, famous warriors who came, you know, forward. And every time, this is another, you know, a lesson for us to learn that any time he killed, you know, an enemy, you know, he would stood on his, you know, stirrup, look behind and, you know, wave to his uncle Abbas, just as a pupil who, you know, would seek, you know, approval of his, you know, of his teacher on assignment. And Abbas, you know, would proudly wave back. So this is very much important for all of us to learn that we have to learn good lessons and we have to have good guides who can help us to live a good life in every respect and in every aspect of the life that we go. And this young boy tried his best, and he showed his great bravery. And unfortunately, there was somebody hit him on the head with sword from behind, and finally he couldn't actually continue, and he fell off, and then he actually cried out, his uncle, Imam al-Hussein, "Oh uncle, accept my last salam." Hussein, and Imam al-Hussein and Abbas, his uncle, rode out, and the soldiers tried to stop them. And it shows that this great personality fought that the history actually doesn't remember. He was a great warrior. He showed great bravery, and he worked very hard, whatever he could, to save the religion of Islam and to save infallible imams and his family. And we need to remember that personalities like Qasim, from the very first moment to the very last breath, they never went astray. Then they walked every steps firmly forward, and they did everything they could just to help the whole the whole humanity to learn a lesson that standing for something more valuable even than your life is really what people need to practice in their everyday's life. And Qasim actually did so on the day of Ashura, and he gave us a lesson, a direct message, that we need to be ready and fully prepared to sacrifice everything we have for a greater value, and that is the Allah satisfaction and the religion of Islam, and anything that can help us and anything that can help the whole humanity to be walking back on the right track.
Look what Karbala gave us. In return, what can we give? I thought I'd go there to die, but in fact I went there to live.
You cannot die. You cannot die.
IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir.
You live on even though we're left grieving, and I will walk on the roads you would walk. Your words live on though you no longer talk. No sword, no arrow can pierce your armored shadow. Who can kill the tears that flow?
Good night to all of our listeners. You are tuned in to Iran Radio broadcast from Tehran. I am very happy to be